singers, as beautiful as always this morning. We've got a great praise team here, folks. They may not be big, but they're anointed. Yes, yes. Some of y'all need to go out and go around to some of these other churches and some of their meetings, and it'll give you a greater appreciation, believe me, real quick. In about 5 minutes, you'll get a much greater appreciation for our praise and worship team. Thank you all so much. If you have your Bibles this morning, would you turn with me to 1 Chronicles? 1 Chronicles chapter 28. And would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word? And I want to announce again this morning, I'm assuming that Sister Connie is still down there with her, but we welcomed little Ivy May. Is that her middle name, Dave? Yeah, little Ivy May, Jennifer's daughter, into the world this week, and she is a beauty. If you go on Facebook, I tell you what, she looks just like her mommy. She really does, I think, anyway. I don't know, but praise God, our prayers are with them this morning. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, beginning at verse 1. And David assembled all the princes of Israel, the princes of the tribes, and the captains of the companies that ministered to the king by course, and the captains over the thousands, and the captains over the hundreds, and the stewards over all the substance and possession of the king, and of his sons, with the officers and with the mighty men, and with all the valiant men unto Jerusalem. Then David the king stood upon his feet and said, Hear me, my brethren and my people. As for me, I had in mine heart to build an house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and for the footstool of our God. And he made ready for the building. But God said unto me, Thou shalt not build an house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war, and hast shed blood. Howbeit, the Lord God of Israel chose me before all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever. And he hath chosen Judah to be the ruler, and of the house of Judah, the house of my father. And among the sons of my father, he liked me to make me king over all Israel. And of all my sons, for the Lord hath given me many sons, he hath chosen Solomon, my son, to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. And he said unto me, Solomon, thy son, he shall build my house and my courts. For I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever, if he be constant to do my commandments and my judgments, as at this day. Now therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience of our God, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God, that ye may possess this good land, and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you forever. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts, and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou wilt seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Ever. Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. And I want to preach on that subject this morning, taken from the 10th verse. Be strong and do it. Could we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, today as we come to you in the name of Jesus, Lord, I come knowing that you're a great and mighty God, and that, Lord, you are the one who sets the times and the seasons in all of our lives. Lord, you are the one, Lord God, who assigns us what you want us to do on this earth. And, Lord, today we come with our faith in you. And, Lord, I pray that you'll build faith today in this church as a body and in their hearts as individuals. And Lord Jesus, we'll not fail to give you all the praise, honor, and glory, for Lord, great things are ahead for this local body. I believe that, but just as the command came from David to Solomon, if they will but keep their mind stayed on the cross of Christ and their faith in it, great things will come. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this time together today, and let everything that's said and done glorify you. Give me the anointing to preach your word in a way that it will be plain, clear, and a blessing to your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. In the late 1930s, the Chicago White Sox were a baseball team renowned for their talent. They had just not too earlier won the World Series, the World Championship of Baseball. And the players, of course, as most pro athletes, are exalted, and this bunch was in the city of Chicago. They became very cocky and arrogant, thinking they were above the law and that they could do pretty much what they wanted. Sounds a lot like today, doesn't it? But they heard, a group of the players of the White Sox heard about a small Salvation Army band that had been preaching the gospel just one block over from the stadium at which they played. And they decided they would go down to where this Salvation Army band was playing and singing and preaching the gospel and make sport of them, have a little fun. Well, they went down that day, this group of several players. One of them was a star player by the name of Billy Sunday. And as they approached and they were getting ready to make fun and begin mocking, knowing that the crowd would turn their attention upon them being the popular star athletes, they were getting ready to make their fun. But as the preacher was preaching, and he was just a simple little preacher, his name, I tried to search for his name, but I couldn't find any record of it. He stopped in his message and pointed, not knowing who these players were, pointed at them before they could begin to make their sport of the preaching of the gospel. And he said, "Jesus loves you, but you're on your way to hell without him." And all of a sudden, fear gripped the heart of Billy Sunday. And he realized, as the Holy Spirit moved on him through those simple words, that he was lost and without Jesus and would die and go to an eternal hell. He fell on his knees right there on the sidewalk with the other two players that were with him. They began to mock him. With tears running down his cheeks, he said, "I must give my life to Jesus Christ." And right there on the streets of Chicago, the most popular player on the Chicago White Sox gave his heart and life to Jesus Christ, repenting and crying openly before them all. But God had his call on Billy Sunday's life. Billy went on, if you study church history at all, you'll know he went on to become one of the greatest evangelists that this world has ever seen. Not long after he gave his heart to the Lord, he forsook the fame and glamour and money and lifestyle that professional baseball had been providing him with and went to the little Salvation Army message and began preaching Jesus and him crucified. And God would grow his ministry over the next 20 years to staggering proportions. And God really used this man. But what I found interesting about his ministry was that he learned early on the power of prayer and that the power of staying humble before the Lord. And he had a gentleman who was with him by the name of John Hyde, who worked in his ministry after the ministry had grown exponentially and he was seeing tens of thousands won to the Lord Jesus Christ in his meetings. But this man by the name of John Hyde, he came to be known as Praying Hyde. There was a formula, if you will, that Billy Sunday used in his ministries when they were going to have a crusade in a particular city. John Hyde would go there some 2 weeks before the meeting was to begin and lock himself in a hotel room and pray and fast. That was all he did. But that was what was required. Because Billy Sunday knew that the power of prayer in breaking strongholds of the enemy was foundational to winning souls to Christ. Not many people know the name of John Hyde. This is possibly the first time many of you have ever heard of it. But near the end of his ministry, Billy Sunday would write that he would have never been able to have seen the success he had seen had it not been for John Hyde, humbly and unbeknownst to the masses, going before him into the cities where they would hold crusades and pray and do spiritual warfare with the powers of darkness so that God would grant success upon the meetings of Billy Sunday. The great A.W. Tozer once said that God may well grant a man success when he's willing to let the credit go to another. And really, in the church, it should be all credit goes to Jesus. It kind of sickens my stomach when I hear some preachers on TV and other times saying, well, I've won so many to the Lord, and, you know, I've done this and I've done that. We as preachers can't do anything. Jesus had to win those. Jesus had to send the Holy Spirit for those people to come and have a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And the Lord has been bringing me for a long time now and still taking me there, if I could get a little bit personal for a minute. And it's been a hard work. He's still not done. We all got I got a lot of pride in me, to where you have to be willing to accept however he wants to use you. Whether it brings you fame and popularity, whether it brings you notoriety, you have to be willing to accept, Lord, if this is what you want me to do, then I'll do it. And the Lord took me to this passage in 1 Chronicles 28, where the great King David, the king, the first mention of him in the New Testament, he's called David the King by the Lord Jesus Christ. He's near the end of his life, and his life has been an exciting ride, to say the least. God selected him. He was God's choice to be king over Israel. And David was a perfect picture of a human being. He failed God a lot. He did some horrendous things. He committed adultery. He committed murder. But God in his grace would always forgive David, because David was always quick to repent. Whenever he failed God, and he loved God enough to know that God was a God of great grace and mercy, and any time he failed God and made terrible mistakes, he would go to God and ask the Lord to cleanse him, and the Lord would do it. That's the God we serve. He's a gracious God, church. I got to stop and preach there for just a moment. He'll wipe away any sin if you'll come to Jesus Christ. I don't care how deep, how dark, how black the sin. If you'll go to Christ and ask his blood to cleanse you from it, as this great Bible says in the book of Isaiah, though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them whiter than snow. Hallelujah. That means that God will wipe away all sin. Somebody needs to hear that this morning. If you'll come to Jesus Christ and put your faith and trust in his sacrifice on the cross of Calvary, he will wipe away all sin and look at you as if you've never sinned at all. Hallelujah. That's the grace that David knew and understood about God. And David, now near the end of his life, he's always had it in his heart. As mightily as God used this man, and God used him mightily, he was a great warrior. My Lord, if you want to study war and how to win, you study this Bible and how God used King David. I mean, it started a lot of trouble for David early on in his life before he was king, when the crowds began to shout over his successes and say, Saul has killed his thousands, but David his tens of thousands. God used him mightily to fight and to establish the nation of Israel that God wanted established, and to make Israel the leading nation in the world. God had used this man so mightily. But in his heart, there was something David had always wanted to do. David was the one who, you'll recall in 2 Samuel, called for the ark of God to be brought back to Israel. And that ark representing the power and presence of God. King David loved God so much, he always wanted to be in God's presence. He always wanted to honor God. And he brought that ark back to Jerusalem. And they built a makeshift tabernacle, a tent, if you will, to put it in, according to the Old Testament. But David, in his heart, longed to build God a permanent dwelling for that ark, a temple. And he began accumulating all the accoutrements and supplies that would be required to build this temple, thinking he was going to do it, because it was in his heart, and God had always given him success in every area and everything he'd put his hand to. But now, near the end of his life, he calls all of his mighty men, all of his rulers and leaders that served under him together, and in an act of great humility on the part of David the king, he said he stood up and had them sit down. That was the reverse of what would normally occur when the king was speaking to his leadership. They would stand as the king sat on the throne and gave them instructions. But in this instance, as his days are not long on this earth, King David says, "You guys sit, and I want to stand and speak to you." And he says something that if you study your Bible, you'll know it broke his heart. Because he wanted to be the one. He loved God. It was not a thing of pride. He loved God. He wanted to be the one to build the temple for the Lord. And after spending most of his life after he became king, preparing the supplies necessary to build this great temple to house the Ark of God, the Lord speaks to his heart and says, "David, I've made you king over Israel forever, but you're not the one I want to build my temple." Man, that had to be a tough pill to swallow. But David loved God enough and wanted to obey God in totality that in his heart he submitted to God's authority and said, "Okay, Lord." The Lord told him, he said, "You're a man of war. You've shed a lot of blood, David. In other words, I've used you in the way that I wanted you to be used. But I've got somebody else that I want to do this work of building the temple of God. I've held this back, and the Lord has spoken this to me for, I believe, about 3 months ago. And maybe this will help some of you. I hope it will. When the Lord first began dealing with me about going to Pittsburgh. Now let me tell you something. Who on earth would pick to go to Pittsburgh? Huh? What is there there? Who on earth would pick to come to Springfield? No offense to you Springfield folks. But I've learned long ago I've got to do what God tells me to do. No matter if I personally like it or want to do it or not. And no matter if anybody else likes it and don't want me to do it. I've got to obey Him. I know that's the only safety and security there is. And I've been down the road with Him long enough to know now, you do what He tells you to do, and everything's going to be all right. But when the Lord first began dealing with me about accepting this position in Pittsburgh and going there, this was the passage of Scripture He took me to. And in my heart, it's always been my desire to build a strong Pentecostal church for the Lord. And I'm talking about a thriving Pentecostal church, one that, you know, run a significant number of people and had everything in it, choirs and all the, something like what Brother Swaggart's got going on down in Baton Rouge. That's been in my heart to do that from the time I went into ministry. And in taking me to this Scripture, the Lord showed me that I have called you, Greg, just to lay the foundations at the places I've called you to. And it bore witness with me. It made a lot of sense to me. Because right now, back in Newark, Ohio, we established this message in that area. Right now there, of all people, I never would have dreamed that God would raise him up. But He did. My brother-in-law, Roger. When I left Mount Vernon to come to Springfield, I was concerned at that particular church I was at then if the message of the cross would go on. And sadly, at that particular church, it hasn't. The guy who's my associate there now has him into everything in the world. And when I saw it going that direction at first, I thought, oh no. I thought, all that work, all that fighting. And those of you who know me know when it comes to this gospel, I'm a fighter. All that I thought's gone for nothing, Lord. But then God raised up Roger. And there is a strong Pentecostal church preaching the cross of Jesus Christ now in Newark, Ohio. They're running about 75, 80 people now on Sunday morning. And they're growing by leaps and bounds. And the Lord showed me, I called you to lay the foundation there. He said, I also called you to come and lay the foundation in Springfield. And that's enough for me. To know that I did what He wanted me to do here. He sent me here to establish the foundation of the message of the cross. And that's been done. And as King David called his people together that day and told them, the temple's going to get built. I'm just not the one to do it. Solomon was in no doubt standing, his son Solomon was standing in close proximity to his father as he made this announcement. And after telling all those gathered together there that day, I'm not the one to go on and build the temple. I'm a warrior. God called me to establish the kingdom of Israel. I'm not the one to build his temple. He's told me so. I believe that's what the Lord's told me. I'm not the one that he's chosen to take this church on. And some of you this morning, as you sit here, you're very uncomfortable. So I'm speaking spiritually. Let me tell you something. Whenever God calls us to a walk of faith, listen closely to what I'm about to tell you. I believe it's from the Holy Spirit. When God calls us to a walk of faith with him, what he sets before us and tells us to do is always going to be impossible for us to do it without his help. If we look at it in the natural, we're going to think it's impossible. But God is calling this body right now for you to put your faith in totality in the Lord Jesus Christ and know that he is not going to forsake you. He's going to provide you with a pastor, or he's going to raise somebody up seated possibly in this church this morning who's going to go on, and this church is going to grow and it's going to be blessed, and this message of the cross is going to go forth in Springfield, Ohio. And David turned to Solomon and told him, "My son, God showed me you're the one that he's called to build this temple." Even though King David with all of his heart wanted to do it, with all of my heart, and I had it in my mind that that's what God called me here to do until just a few short months ago. And he began telling me, "The work you've done is through now in Springfield." And I feel the amen of heaven on what the Lord has used me to do here. In other words, I feel like my mission, I feel a release. I feel totally released from Springfield, Ohio, by the Lord, that I did what he wanted me to come here and do. Establish the glorious message of the cross at a church in this city. And David turns to Solomon and says, "My son, you're the one. If you'll walk with the Lord and you'll keep your faith in him, I'll build this nation and I'll bless him mightily." And he did. And Solomon built the temple, ultimately, of the Lord. God wants to use you all in this city. And he's either going to send somebody. I don't know how he's going to do it. There's where the faith comes in, church. God's calling you to, as a body of believers, to a walk of faith this morning. And I know it's uncomfortable. He's calling me to a walk of faith as we move to Pittsburgh. It's uncomfortable for me. Who wants to go to Pittsburgh? They got those ugly old Steelers there for a football team who've broken my heart many a time playing the Cowboys. Who'd want to go there? But I know, there's no doubt in my mind, the Lord has called me and my family to do this. And I don't know what's waiting there, and I don't know how he's going to use us. But I know somehow it's ministry-based. But he told me this morning to tell you all, walk the walk of faith with him. When David concluded giving Solomon the instructions, and I'm not going to be too much longer this morning. When he finished giving Solomon the instructions, telling Solomon, "Keep your faith in God, Solomon. Obey his commandments and his statutes." And the Lord told me to interject this, and I want to stop right here and say it. Don't ever make the mistake of going outside this word for anything in the church. I don't care how popular it is in the world. I don't care how brilliant it seems. Everything and every way that God wants his church to operate is in this book I'm holding in front of you. And if you go outside of it in any capacity, listen closely to me. If you move outside of this book in any capacity, you will lose his blessing in totality. Hear that. Let it sink in. I'm preaching to you as an evangelist now. If you move outside of this book in any way, spiritually, financially, procedurally, Jesus Christ has laid it all out in this book how he wants his church to operate. And if you move in another direction, you will bring cursing upon yourself as a body. But if you'll look to this for everything, and God will speak to you about it and say, "Lord, in this situation, we're not going to look to the financial gurus of Wall Street that will try to tell us how to operate. We're not going to look to the backslidden spiritual minds that are trying to offer us another way than the cross of Jesus Christ. We are going to look unto you, the author and the finisher of our faith. God is going to bless you mightily and use you to take this glorious message of the cross to every far-flung corner of this community. And you'll see souls saved, people baptized in the Holy Ghost, and this church growing in an unprecedented manner. That's what God's got ahead of you if you look to His Word in totality. He told Solomon, after giving him that same instruction, in essence, that I've just given you, He said, be strong and do it. That's God's message to you in this church this morning. Be strong and do it. You have not lost the Holy Ghost. You have not lost the Holy Ghost. Your faith is in the cross of Christ. He's going to raise somebody up, or He's going to send you somebody to lead you on farther than I could ever take you. Why? Because He's told me, just like He told King David, you're not the one to build and grow the church. You were called to lay the foundation of it. And I feel the Lord's done with me in there. I know He is. But He's not done with this church. Your greatest days, Crossway, are ahead of you. If you'll but put your faith in God, and don't whimper around, because this poor old pitiful pile of flesh and my family's been called on. Everything that's been done for you has been done by the Holy Spirit, not Greg Browning. And that same Holy Spirit is still going to remain with you. And if you'll believe in Him and know our God has great things ahead for us, and He's going to send us what we need, you're going to find that will happen, and you'll be blessed beyond your wildest dreams in every area. Hear what I'm saying this morning. Be strong and do it. Nobody said be easy. I'm not saying that at all. But He's calling you to a walk of faith. And in that walk of faith, it's going to mean that what you're looking at is going to make you think, well, how can we do it? And that's exactly when God calls you to a walk of faith, what it's designed to do. He's not wanting you to figure out how we can do it. He's wanting you to believe Him for what He will do. Does that make sense? He's wanting you to believe Him right now for what He will do. And if you'll do that, and you'll run this church, every facet of it, according to this word, I'm looking to come back here and see this church running 200 or 300 people. And not that that's anything, you know, the numbers, I'm not preaching that. But I'm just saying, I believe you're going to win that minute of the Lord. I believe you'll have God's blessing. If you walk in faith and pray and operate everything according to this word. Notice He even told Solomon, King David did, as He was giving him the charge, and I'm closing now. He said, if you do these things, God will bless you. That's what I want to leave you with this morning. If you will commit to operate everything in this church according to this word, I tell you flat-footed and unequivocal this morning, the greatest days this church will ever know are ahead of it, not behind it. But if you allow your heart to be hardened in any capacity and think, I know better than this how to do it, you're going to be headed for big trouble. Be strong and do it. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, as Ephesians tells us, that you might be able to stand. Glory to God. Great things are ahead for you, Crossway, if you'll trust Him, if you'll believe Him. The greatest days you've ever known are ahead of you and not behind you. And the charge, I believe, of the Holy Spirit to you this morning is simply what David told Solomon. Be strong and do it. Be strong and do it. You can, because your God is with you. You can, because Jesus Christ has given His life on the cross of Calvary to empower you to go on and do it. Take this message. Take this message to Springfield now. The foundation's been laid. And whoever God either raises up or sends, get behind Him. Or 1,000,000% if He's preaching the right message, as you have me. Get behind Him. But also make sure of this. Let Him be pastor. I feel to tell you this before I go. God has never spoken to a board. God speaks to an individual. God speaks to an individual. It's not voted upon. Not one time King David didn't call all these elders together to ask them for a vote. He called them together to say, this is what the Lord has spoken to me. And as long as that pastor, what he's telling you the Lord has spoken to him to do, if it's not outside of this word, you would be wise to follow him and do it and not try to take a vote on it. That's man's system. And God don't operate that way. God speaks to the appointed man he has chosen. Operate that way. Be strong and do it. And you'll have the blessing of God like you've never seen before on this church. And God's blessed us with some tremendous moves of his Spirit in this body. It's nothing but a foretaste if you'll do what I believe the Holy Spirit has set forth before you today. If you'll do it that way, God is going to bless in an unprecedented manner. Crossway Community Church, be strong and do it. Be strong and do it. Would you give the Lord a hand of praise this morning? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Would you stand? Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus today. And Lord, I thank you for everything that you have given since I've been privileged to be these folks' pastor. I thank you, Lord, that you have provided strength for us to establish this message in this community. I thank you, Lord, that you chose me to come here and lay the foundation of this message. But Lord, I praise you in faith this morning, thanking you for what's yet to come for this body. And Lord, I know that great things are going to happen. I sense it in my spirit, just like when I left Mount Vernon, Lord. And I wondered, that's the power of this message. When I wondered, Lord, was all that work in vain? You raised up a healthy body of believers now in Newark, Ohio, that is preaching the glorious message of the cross. And I know you're going to do the same thing here. Lord, as we close the service today, I'd like these people to know, I like King David in my heart. I would have liked to have been the one under my ministry to have seen it happen. But Lord, I can fully accept that you've used me the way you wanted to, and that's enough for me. But Lord, I pray for them now in the name of Jesus as we stand here in the presence of a holy God. I speak blessing upon them. Not that I have any power to do that. I'm yet still your appointed authority for this body. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I bless them. I pray in the name of Jesus that their faith, you give this entire body and individuals the gift of faith to believe you, to know that their God is not going to fail them. Their God is not going to forsake them. That maybe they don't see how it's going to happen now, but Lord, we don't need to see how it's going to happen. These people, your people, just need to know now you're going to do it. And Lord, let them be strong and do it as David gave the charge to Solomon. Let them be strong in their Lord, their God, Jesus Christ. Let them be strong, Lord, in faith, knowing that God will do it, not worrying about how, just knowing that you will, Lord Jesus. And that in Jesus' name, the greatest days in every area this body has ever known are ahead of it and not behind it. Give them the strength to be strong and do it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Would you give the Lord a hand of praise this morning? Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Well, I don't know what the rest of the day is planned, so I'm going to throw it to Pastor Chris now. If you want to come and dismiss us and give the folks instructions. I know we're having a dinner, which is a great thing. And so I'll just throw it to him now.
We are having a dinner, and I also saw some pretty good desserts in there. So you knew you came for a reason. Amen. So just a little bit of instruction. I was over checking, and the food is set up and ready.